It's Wednesday, the 23rd of December, 2015. Happy birthday to no one. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Neftali Sabalos. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can be a sponsor of the podcast for a day. You know how to do it. All you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. It is that straightforward. So thank you to everyone who has done that. Thank you to Neftali Sabalos for being today's sponsor. Also, thanks to Moneyball.com.au. Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. Get on Moneyball if you live in Australia or if you live in New Zealand and join in all the NBA DFS action there. All right, guys, we've got a lot to talk about DFS-wise, especially today. There was four games on Tuesday. There's a mammoth 14 games on Wednesday. Then the NBA takes a break for Christmas Eve. So we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about it now. So what we're going to do with the podcast is for Thursday when there's no games, there'll still be a podcast wrapping up the 14 games. And then what we'll do is have a separate podcast that will come out probably late Thursday night US time, early Friday morning, Christmas Day here in Australia, previewing the Christmas Day games. That'll only be a pretty short podcast, I imagine. So that's the schedule for the next couple of days. All right, there's games to talk about. There's players to talk about. There's lots to talk about.
Let's get to it.
I'll do my best. The monstrous line of the night. Hassan Whiteside, yet again. This guy, if he gets big minutes, we're going to see a big line from him. 35 minutes here, 16 points, 16 rebounds, 4 blocks, 7 of 13 shooting, and hit both of his free throws. That's two games in a row we've seen from Hassan Whiteside where he's played in excess of 35 minutes and put up huge numbers. His last four games, he's averaging 34 minutes a game, which is much improved from what we saw earlier on in the month. 16.5 points, 13 rebounds, half a steal, 4 blocks, 67%, and then 71% from the free throw line. If he can iron that free throw issue out, which he's been at 52% this season, if he can get that into the 70s and keep it there, which he's done these last few games, then he becomes a whole different ball game sort of player. Not sure I think that he can maintain 70%, but he was a 63% guy last year. No, sorry, that's not true. He was a 50% guy last year, so I'm not sure he can be a 71% guy this year, but a 65%, a 64% maybe, but I reckon that's probably pushing it. He still is a bit of a headache in a rotisserie format and has a ton of value in head-to-head, and that's probably where it's going to stay. But if you own Hassan Whiteside, you just want him playing 30-plus minutes because you know you're going to get big lines. You're going to get top 10 head-to-head output from him. You're going to get monstrous lines of the night like we've seen in his last two games. He just is able to rack up stats at a huge, huge rate. He was better than Andre Drummond in tonight's game and in a matchup of two of probably the best fantasy centers going around. The waiver wire line of the night. This one is a little bit confusing. I say confusing because it's confusing as to why this guy played, and that's Brandon Bass of the Los Angeles Lakers. Bass played 31 minutes. He had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 blocks. He was only 4 of 5 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He's basically been missing in action recently. Byron Scott hasn't been playing him, and that's fine. I can understand not playing him because you know what? You've got young guys. You've got Larry Nance. You've got Julius Randle who played that position as well. But Bass came out of nowhere. Well, not really out of nowhere, but out of obscurity. He played 10 minutes in the last game, but then in the previous three Lakers games, he'd played a combined 1 minute 49 with two DNP CDs in that time. Just the standard Byron Scott tomfoolery, just moving guys in and out of lineups with no real reason. Now, Julius Randle did suffer an injury to his ankle at some point. Sorry, I just dropped my water bottle there. He did suffer an injury to his ankle during the game. It didn't really limit him that much. He still ended with 28 minutes. It was Larry Nance who copped the reduction in his minutes, but he was battling foul trouble. But I didn't really see the need for Bass to get in there. In saying that, it allowed Robert Sacre to play only 2 minutes when he'd been getting about 20 every game, and that's a win for humanity. Bass is a better player than... He's a better player than Nance. He's a better player than Sacre. But is he going to get this role moving forward? I'd be very doubtful if he's going to get 30 minutes moving forward. I would be shocked, in fact, if he got that sort of run moving forward. The Lakers were in position to win this game, so they went with their veterans quite heavy. Also, Roy Hibbert was in foul trouble as well. So he played 15 minutes and had 5 fouls. So that enabled Bass to get that extra run. I think what I'm trying to get around it and say here is that I don't think we're looking and adding Brandon Bass. There was a Julius Randle ankle tweak. There was Larry Nance and Roy Hibbert in foul trouble. There was a game where the Lakers were in a position to win, and they did win, and that enabled him to get extra minutes. He deserves more than he's been getting, which is about 12 minutes a game this season. He deserves to have a bigger role than that. But whether he does or not, no. It's hard to say that's going to happen consistently. So he's only a deep league guy, a 16-team league guy, probably at best for Larry Nance. The young gun of the night is Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. He was fantastic. He played 30 minutes off the bench, went 15-10 with 5 assists. You're really efficient shooting as well. 5-7 from the field, 5-6 from the free throw line, and you know, played obviously a lot better than starter Joffrey Lavernier, who played 16 minutes. And this is the issue that I've talked about basically every time Denver plays, is one of these guys is going to have big games. We just don't know who it's going to be. Or when it's going to be. That's the challenge. Who is going to have the big game? Now, Jokic has been more consistent than what Lavernier is having. He's played over 20 minutes in the last 6 consecutive games. He hasn't been as good as what he has been today, but he has shot the ball at 50% or better in 5 of those 6 games. He's been a really good free throw shooter as well. The problem is he going to have sustained long-term value with Jusuf Nurkić returning maybe in a couple of weeks? That seems doubtful. If you own Lavernier, though, I'm definitely happy swapping him for Jokic. Jokic is the better player, in my opinion. But to me, he's not a must-own 12-team league guy. I don't think he's going to be pushing 30 minutes anytime soon or withholding or holding on to 30 minutes for the foreseeable future. But he's not a bad short-term guy to look at. Defensive stats are not really his forte, only at 0.7 steals and 0.5 blocks for the year, but we know he's going to be an efficient shooter. He can add maybe a 3 here and there. He's a points and rebounds sort of guy with not bad assist numbers. Take that for what it's worth. 14-team leagues, yes, you own him, and you own Lavernier as well. In 12-team leagues, it's probably a little bit more discerning whether you need to hold on to these guys, and it really depends on the makeup of your team. The dart of the night was Chandler Parsons, who played 25 minutes off the bench and just was not good. 6-2-1 with a steal. He was coming off some relatively decent performances. We're still waiting for him to get past these restrictions and get back to being himself, but this injury has obviously knocked him around a lot this season. We're heading into January, which is when he thinks that he's going to be free of these restrictions. Let's hope so, but he still has to be owned despite his lackluster performances of late, because you don't want to have held onto him for 2 months and then he starts playing 32 minutes a night in the next week. There's no point in that. Now, if we stretch into January and they say his restrictions are off and he plays 32 minutes and he's still bad, then you can move on. But for now, you've invested, you hold on, and you see exactly what pans out from there. The daily fantasy value play of the day was Bismack Biyombo of the Toronto Raptors. He played 38 minutes. He had 9 points, 20 boards, and 2 blocks. He was priced at 4,600 and put up a 38 spot. A good night for Biyombo. Now, Jonas Valanciunas is most likely back in the Raptors' next game. That is going to absorb basically all of Biyombo's value. He's going to go back to being a less than 20-minute-a-game sort of player. So, if there's someone, look, you probably don't need to drop him now because for Wednesday, you're going to have a full squad anyway. But if you're looking for someone to stream in for the Christmas Day games and you've got Biyombo, it's not a bad time to move on now. Or if someone thinks that he's going to retain value, you trade him away. That might be a harder one to pull off, but it's not completely impossible. You might be able to convince someone, or someone might have it in their head that he is going to play over Jonas Valanciunas, which I do not see happening at all. Let's talk about these games now in just a touch more detail. There were 4 of them. Let's get into the box scores. I'll bring that up on the screen for you guys now who are watching along at home or wherever you're watching. You might not be at home. You might be somewhere else, and that's cool too. Let's get into these games. The first game of the night was the Memphis Grizzlies and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Grizzlies got the pretty comfortable victory, and we saw some of the minutes reduced here. Not as much as I anticipated, but still just that slight reduction in players' playing time, 2 minutes or so, which impacts them in daily fantasy a little bit. Now, Matt Barnes was still really good here. 29 minutes for him, 12-10 with a Richie Beno. 2 threes, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Lots of twos all over the place for Matt Barnes. He obviously has to be owned everywhere. Marc Gasol, 19-6-5 with 3 steals and a block. That was a really good performance from him as well. Well, Zach Randolph in limited minutes was good. 14-8 with 3 assists. That's 2 decent games for Randolph off the bench. He's not a must hold if he's getting 24 minutes a night, I don't think, but it's going to be hard to drop him on the back of his last 2 performances. But remember, this was the Sixers, so I'm not really anticipating him to be a guy that he was borderline hold in 12-team leagues as a starter. Lose 6 or 7 minutes off your playing time, I don't think he's going to be able to keep up that sort of level of play. Mike Conley had 18 points with 6 assists. Courtney Lee was decent with 15. And Jeff Green was very Jeff Greeny. 8 points in 19 minutes. Not much to really talk about. So Mario Chalmers had a pretty decent line there. 7 assists and 4 steals in his 23 minutes, but not a lot else. And Tony Allen returned. So we saw Tony Allen return. That cut into Jeff Green's playing time. But again, was it Sixers related? Was it Tony Allen related? Let's see when they play a legitimate team to see exactly how this wing power forward rotation is going to shake out for the Memphis Grizzlies. On to the Sixers. They moved Nerlens Noel to the bench and they started Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant, he's not a 12-team league guy for me anymore. 9-6 for him with a block. And Nerlens Noel, not that good. 5 points, but 8 rebounds, a steal and a block. And the 3 free throws he hit are something you don't expect from him. That's not terrible. He's clearly not living up to where we wanted him to be, but there's glimmers of hope. Robert Covington struggled also. 23 minutes only for Covington. 8 points and 2 steals is not horrible, but he missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts. He just needs his shot to start going down. And if he's at 14-8 with 2 steals, that's and 3 threes or something like that in that line, then you're much happier. And that's pushing for one of the better lines of the night. Hollis Thompson had one of the better lines of the night, amazingly. 16 points with 4 triples in 28 minutes. No other stats, but not something we get too excited about. Kendall Marshall sat this one out due to rest, so Tony Roten got the start. He played 29 minutes, and his usual brutal, inefficient self. 7 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists, which is okay. You love 5 rebounds, you love 7 assists, but no threes, no steals, no blocks. 2 of 9 from the field, 3 of 8 from the free throw line, and 5 turnovers. He is just a brutal player to watch. He's just so inefficient. He's not going to get 29 minutes moving forward. Kendall Marshall is going to be that guy ahead of him. And I can't see a spot for Roden in standard leagues. It's really hard to be able to roster him at limited minutes and still being so inefficient. TJ McConnell, if he's not dropped, he should have been dropped a while ago. 2 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists for him. The next game, let's talk Jahlil Okafor first. He went 18-5 in 33 minutes. Not much to get too excited about there, so no wonder I skipped over him. The Detroit Pistons and the Miami Heat. This was a good win for the Pistons. Reggie Jackson, 18-5-3. Andre Drummond was not at his best, 11-12. Still had 2 blocks, but it really hurt you in his percentages. 4 of 12 from the field for him. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was similarly bad, 5 of 13 in 40 minutes for 14 points with a couple of threes. But he's still been playing very, very well, KCP, and not someone that I'm too concerned about. Another big game from Stanley Johnson. That's 2 in a row from him. Now, the last game was a 4 overtime game, so he got a little bit of extra run. But here he played 23 minutes, had 14-4-3, hit 4 triples. He's someone to definitely watch for standard leagues. He's not someone that I'm adding or anything like that, but he's a guy to keep an eye on. And anything like a 14-team league, I'm okay with getting him because he's getting that 23-minute role and he's starting to produce. Now, Brandon Jennings was active in this game. Didn't play, and that's what Stan Van Gundy said. I don't imagine him playing in the next couple of games, even though he will be active. So obviously there's no need to be playing him, and you heard my takes on him yesterday in terms of what I thought of him moving forward as a 12-team league or standard league guy. Steve Blake hit 4 threes for his 12 points in 17 minutes, but his role will diminish when Jennings gets back into the rotation. Ersan Ilyasova, just 6 and 8 for him with a steal and a block, so that's not a terrible line. And Marcus Morris was putrid, 8-5-3 in 33 minutes. Not a good night from him, and he is just not a good player, but the minutes are force-fed to him, and that means that stats basically just have to come. Onto the Heat, Luol Deng helping out in the steal category here, 5 steals, 9 points, and 4 rebounds. That's a very Luol Deng line aside from the steals. And Gerald Green played 29 minutes with Tyler Johnson out again and Goran Dragic out. He played 29 minutes, 8 points, 2 threes, and a surprise 3 blocks from Gerald Green. He hasn't been worth owning in standard leagues. He's only been a stream points and threes sort of guy. Beno Udrih got the start in place of Goran Dragic. 14, 3, and 6 for Udrih. Now, Dragic has got dealing with problems with his wrist. If he happens, they don't play again until Friday. They're off. They're off on Christmas Eve. They play, not Christmas Eve, on the 23rd tomorrow. And they play on Christmas. So we might see Dragic back playing then. But he was, I think he had a splint on his wrist. There is a risk that he misses again. And Tyler Johnson's still dealing with that shoulder. So that means we might see more Udrih. So he could be a really prominent daily fantasy play on Christmas. And he could be a great seasonal stream guy. Hey, add a guy on. You're going to have a roster spot on Christmas Day. You might be looking at Beno Udrih. Chris Bosh had 20 points with not a huge amount else. And Dwayne Wade had 19 and 5 in his 29 minutes. The next game was the Dallas Mavericks and the Toronto Raptors. Dirk was great, 20 and 7, 4 threes and 2 blocks. And Wes Matthews had 3 threes for his 15 points. And Ray Felton struggled with his shot, but not a terrible fantasy line. 7, 4 and 3, 3 steals and a 3-pointer. And he still played 31 minutes. Now that, again, there's always something that seems to be fueling his play. Devin Harris sat this one out with a hamstring injury. And then Darren Williams played just 23 minutes before he had to leave with a hamstring injury. Now, Williams had 6 assists and 7 points, but he did say after the game that he heard something pop, so we could be looking at a multi-week injury for Williams. So that means that Felton is someone that should be owned everywhere, and JJ Barea becomes the next guy that I want to have a look at because he's a guy that can rack up, you know, 7 or 8 assists a game. He had 8 points, 2 threes, and 5 assists in his 22 minutes here. He's not someone that's necessarily a must-add for me. I'd add Felton over Barea, but I'm okay with adding Barea in a 12-team league just for that short-term value if you want some threes and assists. That's what he sort of can give you. We saw it last year when he had to start at times. He could be worthwhile if he gets 30 minutes. That's what I assume will happen. JaVale McGee blocked 3 shots again, played 17 minutes for the second consecutive game, blocked 3 shots for the second consecutive game. Interesting to see how they manage his minutes moving forward, but Rick Carlisle was supportive of him, said he was pleased with how he played, and we're going to see more of him. He's going to have a bigger role moving forward. So McGee, we're not caring about standard leagues. We're talking about 16-team leagues, and that's where we can start to look at adding JaVale McGee because he has been a guy in the past that puts up, you know, pretty nice fantasy numbers. Yeah, 5 rebounds and 3 blocks is pretty good in 17 minutes. Zaza Pachulia played just 18 minutes here with McGee cutting into some of his playing time because Dwight Powell still got his 15 minutes. I'm not panicking really if I own Pachulia. This was a bit of a blowout game. The Mavericks were that's not true. It wasn't a blowout. They were destroyed early on and they did fight back and only lost by 4, but it was a bit of a weird game in terms of rotations because they were able to get some of the bench guys in and then they fought back. Onto the Raptors, Kyle Lowry, 17, 10, and 7 with a couple of threes. DeMar DeRozan continues his great scoring year, 28, 4, and 4 with 2 threes as well, so that's a bonus. A late scratch, James Johnson was out with an ankle injury that we knew nothing about. Terrence Ross played 33 minutes in his place, 16 points, 4 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. That is 3 good games in a row for Terrence Ross, but you know how long does that value last? It's very, very short term. And Corey Joseph had he had his best game of the last couple of weeks. 12 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. Played his lowest minute total in that time frame. Don't think that he's really a 12-team league guy to own, though, to be honest. He's had stretches of that, and if he does this again in the next game, then I'd be okay with it, but he's not going to be a mainstay on teams. Luis Scola played 32 minutes. That's because Patrick Patterson only lasted 8 minutes before succumbing to illness. So Scola had 15 and 9 with a triple one in 32 minutes. That's not something we could have known ahead of time. He was someone that I was pretty, you know, okay with using yesterday in DFS, and it turned out pretty well. But I think there was a lot of luck involved with that Patterson illness. I knew nothing of that at the time when I spoke about using Scola. But if Patterson's going to miss and Valanciunas happens to miss the next game, it's going to be Scola and Biyombo that are getting the bulk of the minutes up there. And then Bebe Nogueira played 8 minutes here. For some reason, even after he looked impressive before that ankle injury, he just hasn't been able to crack back into the rotation, which is disappointing for guys who are Bebe Nogueira fans, like I am. The last game of the night, the Los Angeles Lakers, Kobe Bryant, 31 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. It's amazing the transformation in Kobe at the moment. He was the worst player in the NBA pretty much before he announced his retirement, and now he's getting back to being decent Kobe, and that's really good. Make sure he's owned in your fantasy league. There's a massive injury risk for him. We know that, but just really, really impressive performances from Kobe of late, and that's great. It's great to see. I'm not having been the hugest Kobe fan really at all, but you have to appreciate what he's been able to do and what he's doing at the moment. He's actually a top 50 player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 20 points, almost 5 rebounds, over 4 assists, 0.8 steals on 48% shooting. Just a huge, huge turnaround for Kobe, and that is our rewarded owners who have picked him up. Jordan Clarkson played 38 minutes and went 19-8 with 3 steals, while D'Angelo Russell, of course, he played just 21 minutes. Of course he did. Why wouldn't you give more minutes to Lou Williams? Russell's still someone to hold on to, but he's going to be at the under the meddling watch of Byron Scott. Maybe that's the best way of putting that. Lou Williams played 37 minutes, went 17-4-5 with 3 triples. Yes, Williams is a good player, but please just develop Russell. Don't do this bullshit. It doesn't make any sense. Williams has to be owned. He's getting basically 30 minutes a night, and he's putting up decent numbers, but it makes no sense in terms of the future of the franchise. Julius Randle played 28 minutes here, despite that ankle problem, off the bench, 8-10, with no other stats, and he is really a borderline 12-team league guy for me. He's not a must-own. Will Barton, a.k.a. Michael Jordan, started off the game on fire. I think he had like 15 points in the first quarter and then did nothing. He got absolutely shut down by Kobe Bryant. I think when Kobe went on to him, he scored 2 points. Had a very, very quiet game after that, but still played 38 minutes and went 25-8 with 2 threes, 2 assists, and a block. As good as he's been, I'm still yet to be convinced that he's actually a good player. I can't understand what's going on with him, but hey, you have to give him credit. He's playing fantastically well at the moment. Gary Harris played 35 minutes and had one of his better games, 9 of 15 from the field, 21 points and a lot of ones, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal and 1 block, so not bad production across the board. He and Barton had to step up their game with Emmanuel Mudiay out and Danilo Gallinari both missing. Now, Gallinari missed, so they started Kostas Papanikolaou in his place, and he played 11 minutes. The bulk of the minutes went to Randy Foy, who played 29 minutes off the bench and went 9-6-4. And Jameer Nelson played 30 minutes in place of Mudiay, only had 5 points, but chipped in with 3 rebounds and 8 assists. So not a complete waste of a night, but not the sort of boon we could have expected and what we've seen earlier from him. When Mudiay returns, which looks like it could be relatively soon, you'd have to think that Nelson drops down to mid-20 minutes. But I'm not. If I picked him up, I'm not dropping him just yet because Mudiay hasn't been good. He's been terrible. And Nelson might give this team just more guidance and more leadership, and maybe they play 25 minutes each. That's a possibility, I think, moving forward. I don't think it's automatically Jameer Nelson goes to 20 minutes and Mudiay plays 29-30. I think we could be more seeing a 25-minute split. It's probably a 20% chance of that happening, but I don't think that it's completely crazy. So if I own Nelson, I'm not dropping him as soon as I hear that Mudiay is going to be returning. All right. That is it for the games from Tuesday. Before we get into the daily fantasy stuff, just want to remind you that this podcast today is brought to you by No Halftime. And No Halftime is an app that's on your iOS device, your iPhone, your iPad. You can sign up to No Halftime and use the promo code DUNK and get yourself $25 free. If you don't know what No Halftime is, just imagine if you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and you're thinking to yourself, I just want to challenge one of those players and not worry about the rest of the team. I don't want to have to worry about salaries or fitting a team in or drafting or anything like that. Usual fantasy sports services don't allow to, but No Halftime does. It allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams, pitting Kristaps Porzingis versus Karl-Anthony Towns, Will Barton versus Kent Bazemore, Ray Felton versus CJ McCollum, any sort of battle you want to put out there. Creating a challenge takes seconds. Accepting it is even easier. You can do private challenges, public challenges, do it for all sports. Join today. Get started. Get $25 free. Very, very straightforward. In order to do that, all you need to do is download the app from the App Store. Oops, that's not what I needed to put up. Spoiler alert. All you need to do is... For you guys watching the video, I just chucked up the DFS plays for a second, which I haven't got to yet. Go to nohalftime.com, download the app, use that promo code DUNK, which you can see on the screen, D-U-N-K, $25. Bang, straight into your No Halftime account. Challenge some people, win some contests, get some money, you're set. It also helps people, helps me attract more sponsors to the podcast when you guys go out there and do that. So download that up. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, now we're going to have a break. We are having a break because we're going to be back to talk 14 games of daily fantasy action very, very soon.
This is the part with just the guitar. While we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see.
We are back, and I realize I've been saying there was 14 games on. There's actually 13 games on. I don't know where I got that 14 game number from, but there is 13 games on in Wednesday's action. So let's get into it. The first game is the New York Knickerbockers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We don't have a spread for this one yet because there's a few injuries we really need to pay attention to here. Most notably, Carmelo Anthony is listed as questionable after suffering an ankle sprain. So obviously he is a big factor. In a couple of ways, he is who he is, and we know that Melo, he's going to want to play, and he's going to want to put up a big game against LeBron James. But if he doesn't play, that puts Lance Thomas most likely into the starting lineup, and he'd been putting up really decent numbers as is. So he's someone that I would love at his salary. So we need to check on Carmelo Anthony. We also need to check on Mo. Actually, the other thing with Melo is if he's out, then it means LeBron doesn't have to guard someone as hard on the other end, so maybe LeBron can put up bigger numbers. Something to consider. Mo Williams is also questionable with his thumb issue, but he's probably down as the third point guard at the moment behind Kyrie Irving and behind Matthew Dellavedova. Kylo Quinn is also questionable with an ankle injury. LeBron is one of the better options in this game at 10,400. He's been a steady 45-point guy across the last three games. His floor is insanely high. Again, if Melo is out, this looks like a really nice situation for LeBron, so he can be a foundation in a lot of lineups, I think. Aside from him, I don't really love anything here. Kevin Love at 7,800 hasn't been doing enough, only averaging 28 points in his last three. He's not for me. Timofey Mozgov is just too inconsistent, although at 3,700 in a tournament, he can give you 22 or 23 points, which is not terrible. It's way over 5x, but it's not fantastic. Aaron Aflalo at 5,000, you're relying upon him being a hot shooter, and if he's going to have Iman Shumpert on him for chunks of the game, I'm not sure that I'm all that keen on using Aaron Aflalo here. Cleveland play, Kyrie's not going to play enough minutes. Dellavedova is intriguing at 4,500, but I'm not going to be too excited there. Onto the Knicks side of things, not really a huge amount there as well. There's Kristaps
Porzingis.
He is at 6,300, so his salary has come down, but he's only giving us 24.4 points. That's not enough at the moment. He needs to go out there and give you 30, 35 points. So he's too overpriced for me at this present stage. J.R. Smith, I'll leave alone. Tristan Thompson, no thank you. Iman Shumpert, no, I'm not that keen there. And as I mentioned, Kyrie is still priced at 7,700. So that's too expensive when you're only playing less than 20 minutes, which is what he did in the last game. Not all that appealing. The Boston Celtics and the Charlotte Hornets is the next game we're going to take a look at. And there's injury concerns in this one as well. The Hornets are favored by 2.5. The total is 202. But it's the Boston big men we need to check on. Jared Sullinger with his back and Amir Johnson with his plantar fasciitis. If those guys miss, or even if one of them misses, and we know that Kelly Olynyk is going to start, we want to get all on Kelly Olynyk. 4,100 for him. He put up 27.5 in the last game with those guys out. Yes, Charlotte does limit opposition centers, but at that salary, if he's going to play 30 minutes, you have to get on Kelly Olynyk. He could serve up a dud, no doubt, but I do like his ability, and you know that he can be a 40-point guy. There's a chance that he can be a 40-point player, so he's someone to look at, but it all depends on the status of Sullinger and Amir Johnson. Cody Zeller on the other side of things at 4,200. This is the last game he's really going to have much relevance. I'm okay with using him. He put up 21 in the last game. If he gives you 21 here, that's a solid cash game line. And he's been consistent. He's just been consistently giving you 19 to 22 points around that sort of range. And that is, it's not great for tournaments. The upside's not really there, but it's nice and consistent for a cash game situation. 5,200 for Jeremy Lin. He's been playing really well, but Boston point guard, going against Boston as a point guard has not been a beautiful situation for lots of players. So Lin is someone I'll probably avoid here, as I will with Kemba Walker at 7,700. He's averaging 33 points. That's probably not quite where it needs to be. And then you have the Boston factor thrown in. So I think we'll leave that one alone. Avery Bradley has been definitely on a schneid lately, only averaging 12 points in his last three. But at 5,200, maybe in a tournament, he has 30-point upside. So he's someone to have a look at there. The other big men on Charlotte, Frank Kaminsky and Spencer Hawes. Yeah, 18 points for Kaminsky in the last three, 20 for Hawes. They're not bad numbers. The Celtics do allow opposition big men to put up some nice returns. So at 3,800 and 4,000 for Hawes and Kaminsky, respectively, there's a little bit of upside for those guys. 8,300 for Isaiah Thomas. It seems expensive, but he's been putting up basically 40 points a night, so I'm okay with using him. Charlotte is not a real terrible matchup for him. And 5,800 for Jay Crowder, who's been really red hot lately, 36 in the last game, average of over 30 in his last three. At 5,800, that's not a terrible salary to use. As for David Lee, at 4,100, he might get another start, and then he becomes intriguing too. He put up 26 in the last game in his 22 minutes. At 4,100, he's definitely someone that you would want to look at using. Not much else I think we really need to look at too closely here. Marvin Williams at 5,000, averaging 25 points. That's basically bang on where he needs to be. So he's in another spot where you could consider using him in a cash game, I think. Memphis and Washington is the next one. The Wizards are favored by 1.5. The total is 202.5. And there's, as usual, a stack of injuries to look for. Otto Porter, I don't think, plays in this one. Nene, I don't think that he plays. So there's a couple of guys out of Washington that are going to have big impacts. Gary Neal also missed the last game with a back problem. We have had no updates on him just yet. And John Wall's dealing with a rib issue, which he said he's going to play. So there's still going to be some minutes opening up in that front court with Otto Porter most likely out and with the big men struggling. And that means there's going to be some fantasy value here, with Bradley Beal already out as well. So Ramon Sessions at 4,000, he put up 22.8 in the last game. I like his ability to get some run and be useful. Kelly Oubre at 3,700. He's been okay, but he's not someone who's going to demand a ton of shots or anything like that. I don't hate using him at 3,700. I think that you can get use out of him. And Jared Dudley at 4,100. Basically giving you 22 points a game lately. He's played 41 minutes in the last couple of games. Not sure he gets to 41 minutes again, but he's someone that you can invest in and have relative confidence. Same with Marcin Gortat at 7,100. He's been red hot lately, averaging 36.5 across his last five games. Dropped 56 in the last one. Memphis is sort of an even value matchup in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposition centers. So not in as favorable a position as he was in the last game, but it's still a pretty nice spot for him. So I like looking at him. And John Wall at 10,000, an average of 45 across the last three. He's dropped to 59 in the last five. He had one stinker in that, but again, Memphis is not the defensive juggernaut that they used to be. So I think you can be pretty confident using John Wall. Garrett Temple has played two big games in a row at 4,300. If Gary Neal's out, I'm all for using Garrett Temple. I think that he's going to have tremendous run or tremendous value as well. On the Memphis side of things, nothing that I really love. I love Matt Barnes at 4,900, still sub 5,000, averaging 32 points. He is a fantastic guy to go out there and use. And Mike Conley at 6,400 is not horrible, averaging 33 points across the last three. Even put up 28 today against the Sixers, so that dropped his average down a little bit. At 6,400, that is not an extreme salary. 7,900 for Marc Gasol, okay with using him. He's been a 40-point average guy, and that's sort of right where he needs to be. The projections don't really look that great for him against Washington, but it's not like Washington has been a beast against opposition centers. So I think that Marc Gasol can be used if you're looking for a center in that sort of high price range. The Houston Rockets and the Orlando Magic is the next game we're going to look at. The Magic are favored by 1.5 here. The total is 206.5 points. Injuries are always a concern, and they are. It's no different here. Lord Alfred Payton, who lasted less than 10 minutes in the last game with an ankle problem, and CJ Watson, their other point guard, is doubtful. He hasn't played for a very long time. So we could see both of those guys out, and if that happens, then we're going to see more Shabazz Napier, but not sure that he's going to really see enough. Murray Hezonja is the wild card. He played 19 minutes in the last game. Not sure that I'm really wanting to see too much from him, but he's at 3,500. Could he get hot? Could he play 20 minutes at a minimum salary? Maybe. And he gets the Rockets bump as well. Victor Oladipo is the other one that you have to consider, but he's still priced at 6,300. He only played 24 minutes in the last game with Payton out. The minutes do fluctuate for him, but the game looks like it's going to be a close one. It looks like it's going to be high scoring. At 6,300, you definitely have to consider him, but the risk associated with him in a cash game format, in a situation that with 13 games on, I don't think you go with him. I reckon you go with, if you're looking for magic guys to play, Nick Vucevic at 7,700. He's been a consistent 40-point guy recently. He's been solid. He's been getting minutes to see no reason why he doesn't in this one as well. Love using him. Toby Harris is a little bit more risky. There's a massive Houston bump associated for guys playing his position. 6,400, average of 33. He's a tremendous play as well. And Channing Frye at 3,700 is more of a tournament play, but he's played over 20 minutes in pretty much all of the last five games. And there was one where he didn't or even approach 30 in one of those. He could be a 25-point fantasy guy. And at 3,700, he's someone that you definitely have to consider. James Harden at 10,600. This is, without Lord Alfred Payton, the defensive numbers should drop a little bit, or the defensive pressure should drop. So Harden is always a threat to drop 50, so he's someone that you can look at definitely. And other Rockets guys, Pat Beverly's been a little bit disappointing. 4,200, the salary, if it was at 4,000, I would love it. That extra 200 makes me a little bit cautious about using him, considering he just hasn't been great as of late. 4,900 for Clint Capela. Bad game in the last one. Foul trouble got him there and cut him about 2 or 3 minutes short, but even his production wasn't great before that, so he's still more of a tournament play. And 5,500 for Trevor Ariza feels a little bit expensive. He's been in quite a slump as of the last couple of games. Dwight Howard's not getting big minutes at the moment either, about 26 or 27, as they give basically 20 minutes each to Capela, Terrence Jones, and Donatas Motiejunas. So that is restricting Howard slightly, so I'm not really comfortable using him, nor am I comfortable getting Jones or Motiejunas out into any lineup. Ty Lawson resumes from his suspension, but he's been that bad that we are not looking at him because he's clearly going to be in a backup role. The Sacramento Kings and the Indiana Pacers is the next game on deck. The Pacers are favored by 7. The total is 212.5. That is a huge total. I think it's the biggest total of the day. Injury-wise, actually, we don't have too much to worry about in this game, which is good. Omri Caspi will look to bounce back. He's at 5,100. He only played 26 in the last game, but basically, he's been a 30-plus minute guy since Willie Cauley-Stein went down, so he's someone we can look at. DeMarcus Cousins is priced under 10,000, 9,900 for him. He's averaging 44 points across the last three games, 44 across the last five. Yes, Indiana does reduce the output of fantasy centers against them, but I think that Boogie is a 5x cash game play that is pretty solid. CJ Miles is slumping. This matchup looks tasty for him, so 4,800 in a tournament, I can get behind using him. And Paul George at 9,100, this is also a good matchup for him, but he has been really slumping, averaging only 31 across the last three, 29 across the last five. At 9,100, he needs to do a lot better than that. He needs to be 40-plus, which I think he's a good chance of doing, but the risk associated with it makes me a little bit cautious in using Paul George. 7,300 for Rudy Gay is not a bad price, but I really like the Jordan Hill one at 5,000. He's been getting consistent mid-20s minutes. He's been giving you basically 28.5 points across the last five games. Don't know if many people are going to be using Jordan Hill, but he's been really, really consistent, and I think that he is someone that you definitely can have a look at. 8,300 for Rajon Rondo. That's too expensive, especially against the Pacers. I don't want to use him, nor do I want to use Darren Collison, even though he's priced at just 5,200. Jan Mahimi at 5,300, that's too expensive. You can have a bit of a sneak peek at Ben McLemore at 3,600, but he just doesn't get enough minutes for me to really think that he's going to be able to return value there. I'm also not all that keen on George Hill, who's averaging less than 20 in the last three games. The next game is the Dallas Mavericks and the Brooklyn Nets. The Mavericks are favored by 3.5. It would have been Darren Williams' return to Brooklyn, but now he's had that hamstring problem. We likely won't see him playing. So what are we going to see? I like JJ Barea at 3,800. I like Ray Felton at 4,900. Both of those guys should get a bump and be guys that we can consider playing. Chandler Parsons at 4,300. It is really cheap. He's got 35-point upside, but it's probably just a tournament for now. Thad Young has been on fire, 7,000 for him, averaging 32.7 across the last three games. This is not an incredibly difficult matchup for Thad, so I can see using him. Joe Johnson's been surprisingly solid, averaging 22.6 in the last three games, which is not great, but he's only at 5,300. It's still not a situation where I want to use him. And Jarrett Jack at 6,500 has been really bad lately, but I think that this is a game where he can get back on track. I think that he can actually put up a pretty decent line at 6,500 here. We don't know if Shane Larkin is going to play. He's battling a concussion. He looks like he could be in line to return, but I'm definitely not running him out there. But what it means is we're going to see a cut into Wayne Ellington's minutes and Bojan Bogdanovic, making both of those guys even more risky tournament plays. Zaza Pachulia at 6,400 just hasn't been producing of late, so I can leave him alone. And 7,000 for Dirk just feels like it's a lot of name value. Yes, he's been having a great season, but he's not a $7,000 DFS player. Not even close. The Philadelphia 76ers travel to play the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 10. The total is 194.5. We are obviously the first game without Jason Kidd. Does it do much to the rotation? Who knows at this point, but I think that John Henson should be able to get 20-plus minutes here. At 3,700, he put up 28 in the last game against the Sixers. This is a spot where you can put John Henson into a tournament lineup and hope that he drops 30 points on you, or for you. There's a big chance of him doing that. I think that Jabari Parker is probably going to have his minutes restricted a little bit here. It's the Sixers. They should get a comfortable victory, so I don't know if he plays big minutes. And it's going to be similar for a lot of these guys. Greg Monroe, Giannis Antetokounmpo coming back off a knee issue. If he plays, will he have limited minutes? I'd say there's a pretty big chance of that. Michael Carter-Williams has basically been 38 minutes a game over his last three. At 6,500, he's been putting up good numbers, but I don't think he gets 36 minutes here. He might get 30 minutes. But if he gives you 36 fantasy points, you'd be pretty happy with that. Just not sure that this is going to be a great spot in terms of the opposition. But there's also revenge factor for Carter Williams. So he could go out and put up big numbers. So don't discount that, especially for him who's been playing really well, put up 41 in the last game. This is a spot where I think you can invest a little bit in Michael Carter Williams. OJ Mayo at 5,200. Yeah, don't mind using him. A 28-point guy across the last three games. Move to the bench, back to the starting lineup. He'll probably go back to the bench in this one. Who knows exactly what the Bucks will do without Jason Kidd. It makes him a risky play to me. 7,600 for Greg Monroe. Yes, it's an easy matchup, but him coming back off the knee injury and playing the Sixers, don't hold all that much confidence for his playing time. And 6,200 for Chris Middleton looks like it's a really enticing salary, given he put up 41 in the last game and he's averaging 31 across the last five. But Philadelphia, does he lose 5 or 6 minutes a game? Because he's been averaging 40 minutes a game across the last three. This might be a chance to give him a bit of a rest. The point guard position, we can leave all that alone. Kendall Marshall, Tony Roten, Isaiah Cannon, TJ McConnell. It's hard to use any of them. And Robert Covington is just not someone you can put faith in at the moment. 5,700 is too expensive. If it was less than 5,000, I would say, yeah, throw him in a tournament and see how it works out, but not at that sort of salary. Detroit and Atlanta is the next game that's on the board. The Atlanta Hawks are favored by 5.5. The total here is 203 points. Paul Millsap had an issue with his ankle. He is likely to play here. Brandon Jennings will be active, but we know that he's most likely not going to play in case of emergency. So where's the value lie? Well, Al Horford hasn't been producing it lately. He's at 6,600 and not a great spot for him against Andre Drummond. I'll leave him alone. 6,100 for Jeff Teague. Had a big game in the last one, but I'm not all that keen about him going against the Pistons. And I don't trust Dennis Schroeder at 4,700 either. 9,600 for Andre Drummond. Bit of a stinker against Whiteside. The Hawks are a much easier matchup. I think that he could be a 50-point game could be in play for Andre Drummond here. Reggie Jackson at 7,800. That salary is possibly a little bit high, but he'd want to bounce back after not a terrible game, not a great game, but not a terrible game in the last one. So he's definitely in play. Kent Bazemore at 5,500. Wings against Detroit get shut down relatively consistently, so I don't think that we want to necessarily get him out there at 5,500. And Paul Millsap at 8,100. It's just too expensive for a guy coming into the game with doubts on his ankle. Stanley Johnson's a $3,800 guy, averaging almost 21 points across the last three. Maybe if you're just trying to fill out a consistent 20-point guy in a cash game lineup, you could consider him with a smidge of upside, but there's probably going to be some other better options on the board, would be my guess. The Portland Trailblazers and the New Orleans Pelicans, no spread yet, but Damian Lillard is out, Alexei Ajinsa is out, and CJ McCollum is questionable. So if Lillard and McCollum are out again, we're going to see 48 minutes of Tim Frazier most likely. He's at 3,800. He'd be someone that you'd want to definitely get into your lineup. Even if McCollum plays, I think that Frazier becomes someone you can definitely use because he's going to have to play minutes as CJ McCollum plays at the two. And McCollum will play a lot of point guard as well. But if McCollum plays and Lillard's out, 7,500 McCollum, he could have a 40% usage rate in this game. He could have a huge game. So that's something we obviously need to monitor throughout the day. I like Mason Plumlee at 5,300. He's been putting up consistent numbers. Anthony Davis at 10,400. Been getting a stack of minutes apart from the last game where he was sick. And even then, he put up 42.7 points in his 20 minutes. A Portland front court, which allows a lot of fantasy points. This is a great spot for Anthony Davis, I think. Also, don't hate using Ryan Anderson at 6,000. He could get hot, but it's strictly for tournaments for me. And 5,600 for Drew Holiday has been really, really good. Oh, I can definitely get behind using Drew Holiday. He put up 37 in his last game. He's averaging 30 points across the last five. That's more than a 5x value across that time frame. You can look at using him. Alan Crabb at 4,200 will likely see some more minutes, especially if CJ McCollum is out. He put up 27 in the last game. 4,200, that's a win for you to use him. And not many other guys, really stand out in this one. I don't think Myers Leonard is 3,800, and he's strictly just a tournament punt guy. Hopefully, it works out for you. And Al-Farouq Aminu is definitely not returning value at 5,100, or he hasn't been of late anyway. The San Antonio Spurs against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Spurs are favored by 10.5. The total here is 196. Kevin Garnett rested the last game. It's likely he'll be back for this one, another showdown with Tim Duncan. Not a lot of fantasy value really standing out to me here. Although I don't mind Gorgui Dieng at 5,300. He's been a 30-point fantasy guy across the last three games, or averaging that across the last three games. You always worry about the Spurs defense, so there's a concern there. 7,200 for Ricky Rubio. I reckon I can find better point guard value than that. I'll leave him alone. Kawhi Leonard at 8,900. Yes, I think this is a good spot for Kawhi. Yes, he's almost costing you 9,000. But he could be easily a 40-point guy. He could be a 45-point guy here pretty comfortably. Karl Anthony Towns at 7,600 has been easily smashing that value. Yes, the Spurs are a concern, but I think that he's going to want to get out there and put up a pretty nice showing. So I'm relatively comfortable with using him, but probably lean more tournaments than I do cash games with him. Zach LaVine at 5,400, nut wing player against the Spurs. Forget about it. Andrew Wiggins, 6,700. He's going to get Kawhi'd. Forget about it. Look, Wiggins could show that he's an absolute star by putting up a huge game, but he is going to get Kawhi'd, and he's going to get Kawhi'd very, very hard. 7,300 for LaMarcus Aldridge. He's been playing a little bit better, fantasy-wise anyway, giving you 34 points across the last three, but not all that comfortable running him out there. The Timberwolves are a pretty solid defensive unit, and I don't think that he's necessarily going to go out there and play big minutes. Denver and Phoenix is up next. There is no spread for this one because we don't know the status of Danilo Gallinari, nor do we know about Emmanuel Mudiay. If both of those guys are out, I'm looking at using Jameer Nelson. I think Gary Harris gets a bump at 3,700. He's a definite tournament guy. And Will Barton at 6,400. That salary still hasn't caught up to his production, so there's still a lot to like about him, regardless of if Gallinari and Mudiay plays. The centers in Phoenix, Tyson Chandler and Alex Len, along with John Lua and Markieff Morris as the power forwards. Who knows what the hell Jeff Hornacek's going to do. We don't know what sort of rotation he is going to run out there. TJ Warren moved into the starting lineup. He's at 3,900. He's worth a punt against a Denver team who allows just shitloads of points to wing players. Same with with Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe. 6,900 for Knight, that's dropped. 8,200 for Bledsoe, that's dropped. one of the easier matchups they've got on tap. Knight off the bench, it didn't impact his value. Put up 28 points. Well, 28 points is not great, but it's still pretty decent. So I think all those three guys become in play. I think there's a lot of fantasy value in this game, but there's also some confusing fantasy value. 4,200 for Nikola Jokic. He could also go back to a limited role, but I'm okay with using him at 4,200. I reckon you should see a 22 to 24 point fantasy performance out of him, even though the Suns have got a pretty good value in terms of them restricting fantasy points against centers. You could use Jokic in a tournament lineup. And I mentioned if Moutier is out, Jameer Nelson at 4,600 just retains enough value to be consistent or to be considered. Devin Booker started the last game, didn't play enough, and I don't think we need to really get too excited about him. He could get hot and demand more minutes, but I'm not all that comfortable throwing him into a cash game. The Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 14.5, and the total is 209 here. Derek Favors at 7,700. I don't mind him, but he hasn't been playing all that well lately. So I reckon you can probably do better than that. Trevor Booker at 4,400. Not bad. A 21.3 point average over the last three games is okay. That's a solid cash game, 4,400, looking for a cheap guy. 4,600 for Rodney Hood is also not a bad one to look at. He was really good in the last game. He's a bit up and down, so he's probably more for tournaments. And I like Gordon Hayward at 7,200. He's been putting up big numbers without Rudy Gobert. Steph Curry at 10,900. Yep, I'm all for using Steph in this game. Averaging 43, I'm not worried about the Jazz defense all that much. I think that he's going to be able to do basically whatever he wants. Not much else really gets me too excited. I don't mind Klay Thompson, but he's up at 7,200 here. If he gives you 35 points, it's basically 5x value. You're right on it. The upside is not necessarily massive for him at the moment, or not at the moment, in this matchup. And Draymond Green at 9,200, that salary is way up there. Yes, he's averaging just a massive amount of minutes. Sorry, a massive amount of points. I can see using him at 9,200, but this is probably a little bit too expensive for my liking for Draymond Green. For as good as he's been, that salary is pretty expensive. The next game, or the last game, is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Lakers. The last time the Thunder played the Lakers, they destroyed them by about 40 points. They're favored by 13 here, and the total is 207. We saw in the last game they played Westbrook and Durant didn't have much to do. They didn't need to do much, so they're massive risks. Now, this is an awesome matchup. If for some reason the Lakers can stay close, they could get big. But it's really hard to rely upon them in cash games because they could play 27 minutes and go for 13 points or 18 points or something like that. That's a risk. I like Lou Williams at 5,300. He's been pretty solid lately. Steven Adams for the Thunder at 4,100. He's been putting up solid numbers. Put up 20 in the last game, which is not horrible. You could do worse than using Steven Adams. Probably not the guy that I want to really spend up, you're not spending up much for him. With 13 games on, he has value if you're looking for a cheap center, but he's not someone that I'm building a lineup around. Jordan Clarkson at 5,600 intrigues me. Averaging 28 across the last three games, he is someone that we can look at. He seems to be over that ankle problem, which is obviously awesome. Kobe Bryant at 6,900. I can't explain how well he's. I tried earlier. He's been playing fantastically at 6,900. Averaging 38 fantasy points across the last three, you almost have to get him into most lineups here. Yes, there's going to be difficulties sometimes with him, and he could fall flat on his face, but he's been consistently good over the last couple of weeks, so I'm all for using Kobe Bryant. Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, maybe tournament punts, but they're over 5,000, not really too keen with using those guys or either of those guys. All right, let's talk about the daily fantasy value plays of the day. Bring them up now. At point guard, Ramon Sessions at 4,000. There's a lot of injury factors involved in that, so you've got to check on the status of Gary Neal and Otto Porter. Jordan Clarkson at 5,600 and John Wall at 10,000. Shooting guards, Rodney Hood, 4,600. Will Barton at 6,400 and CJ McCollum at 7,500. With the small forwards, Jared Dudley, 41. Omri Caspi, 51. And LeBron James, 10,400. John Henson at power forward at 3,700. Thad Young at 7,000 and Anthony Davis at 10,400. While the centers we go with Steven Adams, 41, Marcin Gortat at 71, and Nick Vucevic at 7,700. Guys, don't forget to check out No Halftime and use that promo code DUNK. Check out moneyball.com.au. basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Leave a review on iTunes. Subscribe there. Subscribe on YouTube as well if you're watching this video. If you're not, just go and subscribe anyway. It would be fantastic. Good luck in setting your lineups. Good luck in your seasonal leagues. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.